Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you on Oilers Now, where guests receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse. It's the greatest steak you've ever had. Follow the sizzle to 9990 Jasper Avenue and tell Chris and Chef Eltaf that Oilers Now sent you. Roost Chris open Tuesday through Sunday from 5 until 10 p.m. We're going to bring aboard our NHL insider, John Shannon, for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Whether it's heating or cooling you need, get it with no payments and no interest for a year. That's how you build a legacy heating and cooling. Hello, John. How you doing?
I am great, Bob. How are you?
Good. I'm going to read a text from Bob from the Hat. Bob, thank you for talking about the Golden Bears. Well, not everybody agrees with that. There were a couple things that happened this weekend. Number one, there was a time in which, and you're gonna date me a bit on this, but I can remember watching the Vanier Cup on CBC back in like 1980. Mm-hmm. TSN did a great job with U Sports at the time that I was an SID at the University of Alberta, 2000 to 2008. The Golden Bears national championship games on Sunday, and the Bears weren't a lot of them, would be on TSN. They moved to Sportsnet around 2014-15 when Alberta won back-to-back because Louis DeBrusque worked a bunch of those games. Mm-hmm. They are now on CBC either on UP or on YouTube or on Gem.
Right.
Just as a guy that's been heavily involved in television program, how much would it cost a network, as an example, to staff and crew in a couple games like that for a tournament?
Probably, if you do 2 and 3 days, you're going to do 3 and 3 days, it probably costs between $20,000 and $30,000 a game, and the bill would probably overall for the weekend would probably be close to $60,000 to $70,000.
So if they did 2 semifinals and a final.
Yeah, so 3 game, but the good thing is 2 semis in one day is that you have everybody's in place. You just have to pay the overtime. It's when I was a kid, and it's a lot. I'm a lot older than you. I mean, the Vanier Cup was on CBC. The CIAU basketball championship. I remember Brian Heaney not only broadcasting it, but prior to that, playing in it.
Yeah.
And the hockey tournament was on when it wasn't near as well organized as basketball and football, but the hockey tournament was on. And in my mind, that was the role, and that is the role of what the CBC should be doing.
Yeah.
That's a fact. I mean, the problem has become is that, everywhere we go, it's a cash business. You have to be able to generate revenue. That's why TSN walked away from it. That's why Sportsnet walked away from it.
I'm sure you've heard the story, Alberta on Saturday, and we'll throw this out there. We'll get to the Oilers and the Sharks here in a second. Alberta had a pretty good tournament for a team that I consider in a rebuild. In terms of talent-wise, maybe the lightest team in about 20 to 25 years, in my opinion, watching that program. They won the opening game 7-0. They lost a couple players to injury in the first period. They won the second game against the host PEI 4-1, but they're up 3-0 in the third period, and Prince Edward Island started running around, and they ran the goalie, Ethan Kruger, one player, was lost possession of puck, skated right through the goalie, and then after the scrum ended, he sucker-punched the goalie.
Mm-hmm.
Dropped him, knocked Ethan Kruger out of the game. Ethan Kruger's been to Oilers camp, by the way, before. So Ian Herber's elected after the game was over, and they continued to run and, hit Bears light and all that kind of stuff. He elected not to shake hands with his team. What did you think of that?
Well, I mean, and I full disclosure, I did not see the game. I did not see the events that you described. But, in the heat of the battle, if one team is going to do things as heinous as that, then I think the coach has every right not to be able to.
His concern was that something might end up taking place during the handshake.
That's fair. I still don't. You remember handshakes in Montreal, Boston, and Milan Lucic,
Dale Weiss.
Yeah. So, the great tradition of shaking hands is one thing, but player safety is another, and it's disappointing when we hear and see things like that, because that does not give our game, no matter what level, that does not give our game a great name.
No. Who was Keith Olbermann, the worst person in sports, and he did a Milan Lucic worst person? What do you think of Keith Olbermann, by the way?
I love him.
Yeah, he's very talented.
He loves hockey.
He does.
He's a huge Ranger fan. He loves the Vancouver Canucks, and he loves John Shorthouse and John Garrett.
Really?
Yes. I did a show at Sportsnet with Merrick and PJ Stock for 3 or 4 years. And over that show, we became great friends with the
Keith. You actually had me on that show about once a month back in the day.
You used to be on that show?
You used to have me on a show that you were a part of, John, back then.
Not now, though, Bob.
No, I know. The other Bob doesn't want me on. I get it. It's you.
I would say that I must defend my friend McCowan because, like most
people. You booked the show?
No, but like most people in the business, he doesn't know any of us.
There we go. I'm completely right. Then it's you. Who knew? Hey, Brendan, just so you know, please mark, this will be Shannon's last appearance on the show.
Got it.
All right. So we got a game tonight, so let's get to it. It's the Oilers and the San Jose. By the way, what were your thoughts on what you saw Edmonton and Seattle on Saturday?
Well, obviously, Evander Kane had a hell of a game, and a couple of guys really played well. I'm always happy when the local guys contribute. So I was really happy for Yamamoto with his family in the building. Derek Ryan always plays well. The two kids from Eastern Washington being able to go and play professional hockey in Western Washington for the day, that's always kind of cool. I still wonder, you know, at times the sloppiness. I think we talked about this last week, Bob. Is that, you know, if the game stayed 6-2, you'd be really happy. But why does this team always seem to allow that, you know, that third or fourth goal? Yeah. Then you're, come on, can we not close? And you know, every once in a while it comes back to bite you.
Well, that 6-4 goal, you could see the frustration on Dreisaitl's face. Yeah, he was
absolutely
really angry that
and would be. And so those are the types of things that you say, hey, gosh, we've got to watch that. We've got to play tighter through the whole game. We can't rest, and we can't think we're going to outscore a team every night.
Hey, you can jump in on this as well. Another text on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. This is from Ken in St. Albert. Two questions on the Golden Bears men's hockey squad. Is Sherrod Park's forward Bruce McGregor related to the former player assistant GM Bruce McGregor of the Oilers? And wouldn't it be neat to see Matt Fontaine, the grandson of Val Fontaine, get an amateur tryout with the Oilers? Both players still might have varsity availability next year. That comes from Ken and St. Albert. Yes, Bruce McGregor is the grandson.
So that's Brad's kid?
That's Brad McGregor's son, yes, who worked for the Oilers. Brad's actually in development over at the University of Alberta.
Brad worked the first years that we came out here to do Hockey Night in Canada. Brad was our runner.
Yeah.
He used to get the player guests, which is the way we all started.
He's in development at the U of A, and I got to tell you, I've been around the university for on and off for about 30 years. I've always wondered, what the hell do guys do in development? I'm just kidding, Brad. But yes, and Val Fontaine, was he out with Detroit back in the late 50s after he played here at Edmonton and then was with Pittsburgh in the NHL as well?
I remember more with Pittsburgh. But I, you know, if you, I was one of those guys that used to get the NHL guide every year and go through, and there is Val Fontaine for the Red Wings as well. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of Matt Fontaine, who was the captain of Alberta, he's actually played for the organization that's here. He played a full season with the San Jose Barracuda in the American Hockey League before redshirting for a year, then playing at the U of A. So he's already had AHL experience. All right, so let's get to it. It's the Oilers and the Sharks tonight. We agree the team needs to lock it down. James Reimer starting in goal tonight against Jack Campbell. That'll be an interesting matchup for different reasons.
Two Maple Leaf goalies are trying to find something to hold on to. I mean, to me, this is an important night for Jack Campbell. This really is to, you know, finally get back in a groove somehow. The team without back-to-backs, the team is playing in such with the calendar. You could justify playing Stu Skinner all the time. You really could, but between now and the end of the regular season, you've got to get Jack Campbell back up and playing at a quality level. You got to get him back up to that 900 save percentage. You have to. And hopefully this will be his chance tonight. At the other end of the ice, the James Reimer scenario with what he did Saturday night, saying he did not want to participate in their LGBTQ event and wear the sweater of that the Sharks had created. It's disappointing. You have to respect people's religious beliefs and freedom of speech, but there's a better way to do it. And what he's done, Bob, in my opinion, He's forced his teammates to answer for him. And that's not fair either. You know, he won't talk today, but every player, I guarantee you, every player that was interviewed today was asked the question, so what do you think of James Reimer? That's not fair to that player. You know, that this was all James Reimer's doing, not his teammates doing.
Okay, and I believe the Oilers' night is going to be on Saturday.
Against Vegas?
Against Vegas. I don't believe they're doing jerseys,
okay.
Team-specific jerseys, but of course everybody's going to have pins and
tape
and all that kind of stuff to support the...
I do wonder now, not a league initiative, but I do wonder if teams will take a step back and say, you know, do we really need this? You know, the Islanders dropped theirs. Minnesota dropped theirs. The Rangers had a different trait of thought. Columbus changed the way they did it. I wonder if there's been enough of a pushback more by the players and by other groups to say we don't need this anymore. We don't need this distraction anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, hockey is for everybody. We have to promote diversity, but are there different ways to promote diversity?
All right. That is John Shannon joining us right now. He's not done yet because we're going to keep talking about this matchup tonight. I don't think Edmonton's going to look past San Jose, and I'll tell you why. Like, you know, Columbus, I'll tell you the game that I'm concerned about.
Wednesday.
No. In Arizona.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They got a great home record.
And I just wonder if teams go in there and it's, you know, it's in the Mullet Arena there, the Moulet Arena, and they're kind of like, geez, you know, I played in a better place in junior.
So file this one away too, Brendan. I wonder when the Oilers play there if there'll be more Oiler fans than Coyotes fans.
Well,
I would not be surprised.
There was usually about 2,000, 2,500 Oilers fans in the old building.
And so I think that those 2,500 to 3,000 Oilers fans will show up again.
Think so?
Yes. And I think it'll appear to be a home game for the Oilers.
You know, the Oilers did not play great. Connor McDavid referred to the performance as quote-unquote ugly after the victory against Seattle. And I think that there's a healthy amount of respect. Jay Woodcroft, spent 7 years in the Sharks organization. He coached Logan Couture, Tomáš Hertl for at least a season, Hertl's case, and Mark-Edward Vlasic. Those guys have been there a while. Those are, I'm pretty sure those are the three players that were on the team back. I think they're the only three still left. San Jose, you know, they've struggled in terms of their 5-on-5 scoring and their 30th in the league in goals against. By the way, John, very quietly, the Sharks have worked their way up to the second best percentage right now of landing Connor Bedard at 13.5%. What do you think Mike Greer is cheering for tonight?
But you can't. I mean,
I know
that's a loaded question. We have friends all over the league with all these teams in the Bedard Derby, and you phone them up and say, "What, you won last night? Why?" And they say, "Well, players want to still win. Players want to compete.
Yeah.
Players don't want to be embarrassed." But you know, at a certain point, and by the way, you can have the worst record in the league, and you still only have a 25% chance of getting the player.
I never forget the look on Tim Murray's face when the Oilers got McDavid. Just
changed it. It changed the trajectory of the franchise in Buffalo.
Yes,
the difference between getting Connor McDavid and Jack Eichel.
Yeah,
you know.
So, John, here's the thing with San Jose. For 15 years, they had the best combined record in the league.
Yep.
They just didn't win a Stanley Cup. They had some advantages. It's a lovely place to play. I watched a lot of their games. You know, part of the reason why I watched, I thought Randy Hahn and Drew Remenda,
outstanding.
They were as good as there was in the league. I never got the sense from people in San Jose that, and maybe it was because they didn't win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah,
I never got the sense that there was arrogance out of that organization. You know, we used to get Doug Wilson on the show a lot early in their time there. And so they're going through a bit of a rebuild. And, you know, I'm looking at this team right now and I'm thinking, oof.
This is not a bit of a rebuild. This is a full-blown. And by the way, I think they're going to be worse next year. I really do. I think they're going to be worse.
Do you think they'll trade Carlson at the draft?
I think that they will. They'll have to talk about it. They will have to talk about it. Unless Eric comes and walks into Mike Greer's office and says, I want to be part of this. I am fully committed. And you know what? I will not approve any move. And that's the only way it's that they will consider it. He'd be a great cornerstone to have for the next 4 years, a great leader to have for the next 4 years if he's fully engaged. Then the question is he fully engaged? And there's only one person that can really answer that, and that's Eric himself. You know, his wife's from Ottawa. I heard rumblings of going back to Ottawa in the last month too, at some point. Now they went and got Jacob Chychrun instead at the deadline, but it's a difficult situation. They should have started this rebuild a year after they went to the Stanley Cup final, and they held on too long, too long. This is so reminiscent to me of what we saw in the late 80s with the New York Islanders, where Bill Torrey rewarded the guys that won the four Stanley Cups in the early 80s and said, we're going to stick with you, and look what the Islanders went through, albeit, you know, the 92 year or 93 year when they upset the Penguins. But they went through a long, hard rebuild a couple of times because they stuck with the veteran players. That's what they did here too. And then they overpaid for Carlson. They overpaid for Evander. And now look at their draft spot. They have little to show for their drafts. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a long process.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. Just to put things further to what John's saying here, if you take a look at the San Jose Sharks, the team that we're going to see tonight, by the way, they got good game notes.
Well, it makes you sound intelligent.
As a former SID, I have an appreciation for the amount of detail. Yes, I need all the help I can get in trying to sound intelligent, John. That's why they got a real smart guy like you on the panel with us tonight. Two first-round picks in the lineup tonight from San Jose. That are theirs, right?
Yes.
And that's Couture and Hurdle. That's it. You know, that's
how long ago was that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the case of Hurdle, it was in 2012. That was the Yakupov draft year. He was 17th overall, and they got Couture 9th overall way back in 2007.
Exactly.
So I'm gonna tell you the two sides of Craig McTavish here, because Craig McTavish and me had an animated discussion a number of years ago over Andrew Miller and Derek Ryan. Okay. And the problem was that MacT was a guy that got to make the choice, so you know how that ended at that time.
I do. That never stopped you from lobbying for Derek Ryan.
Right, so. And as it turned out, since that time that Craig and me had that conversation, Derek Ryan's gone on to play 477 more games in the NHL, and Andrew Miller never played another game in the league. But back to MacT. He was pushing the Oilers hard back in 2007 to take Logan Couture. That was his guy. The Oilers drafted Sam Gagner at 6. Couture had suffered a shoulder injury that year playing for the Ottawa 67s. He's had a hell of an NHL career.
I mean, sure
has. 915 games played. He's got 24 goals this year, 692 points. He's been a great player for the Sharks.
Well, I mean, if you can play at that level for Brian Kilray, you can play in the National Hockey League. And, you know, he was part of that pedigree of the 67s. That so many players came out of Ottawa on the OHL at that point with what Kilray taught them about being not just hockey players, but being men.
They have a third first-rounder that's in the lineup tonight, by the way. William Eklund, who went 7th overall in 2021. They're high on him, so he's in the lineup.
But he's a
developing young player.
He's a work in progress.
Yes, no question about it.
But that's this whole team right now, work in progress.
All right.
Hold on. You know what day today is?
It's the start of spring.
Well, it's Bobby Orr's birthday. Come on.
Bobby Orr has got, you know.
Bobby Orr's birthday, 75.
Bobby Orr would be lucky, John, today to be a 10-goal, 40-point guy.
Yeah, but he's 75.
But he's 75 years of age.
That's right.
Who got Dick Irvin? Harry Neal got Dick Irvin. Dick, Jean Beliveau had only scored 20 goals, and Dick just lost it, right? and then Harry dropped. He's 62 years old. Now the Glenn Anderson, Dick Irvin, that was one of the funniest ones of all time after the Rangers won the Cup in 94, and Dick's interviewing him and he goes, well, congratulations on your fifth championship. And Glenn Anderson goes, it's my sixth, Dick. And Dick goes, oh yeah, well, this is my 43rd Stanley Cup that I've been at.
Well, and speaking of, I mean, Dick just turned 91.
That's awesome.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, Bob.
All right, we are 12:53 here. Oh, wait. I guess I'm going to merge the break in about 1 minute's time.
Oh, good.
So I'm going to have to come up with a trivia question on the fly, and I haven't even told Brendan what the answer is going to be.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'll do some shuffling here, Bob,
to break and let me come back?
Yeah, I
All
can
right,
do that for you.
Let's do that. It is 12:53. You're listening to Oilers Now. All right, how tough should I make it, Brennan? It's 12:57 in Edmonton. We're going to get to Oilers Game Day Trivia. It's brought to you by Pro-Am Sports, Fan Cave, and Fan Gear Specialists for all budgets in Edmonton or in Edmonton on St. Albert Trail and available at proamsports.ca. Up for grabs, a $50 GC from Pro-Am Sports. Here we go. It's not that hard. Mike Greer, as we know, is a former Edmonton Oiler. He's now the general manager of the San Jose Sharks. Which NCAA powerhouse did Mike Greer play for? You can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Which NCAA powerhouse did Mike Greer, the now general manager of the San Jose Sharks, play for? And you can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. For you golfers out there, if you're looking for a golf tour bucket list experience, you can join New West Travel this October and golf world-famous Pinehurst in North Carolina, home of the 2024 U.S. Open, as part of a five-day golf getaway. Your Pinehurst golf package includes airfare by private charter with open bar, meals, four nights spectacular accommodation, five rounds of golf, including the stunning U.S. Open course at Pinehurst. Space is limited. To reserve your tee time, reach out to New West Travel at newwesttravel.com. Off to a global news weather traffic update. Drew Remenda coming up. Sharks analyst when we return in Oilers Now.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.